Well, hey everyone, and welcome back to the Dangerous Creatives podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Sweeting, and I am so excited to be talking with Emma Tesler today, who runs a marketing agency and especially working around the digital space, social media. So we are talking about getting more leads, getting more inquiries for your business through leaning into your social media game a little bit, which I know can be such a frustration to so many creatives, photographers. We all want that grid to look perfect and we overthink it and don't exactly know how to get strategic about it. So I'm so excited to have you, Emma. Do you want to introduce yourself any more to our audience?
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk all things digital marketing today. But like you said, my name is Emma Tesler, and I'm the founder of 95 Media. We are a digital marketing agency. We work primarily with scaling brands who are looking to grow, looking to do more with their social media presence than just post and hope and then just move on with your day. Actually, see results is what we're going for. So we specialize in social media management, email marketing, and podcast production. So we like to call ourselves a one-stop shop, but we do a lot, and I'm excited to cover all of that today.
I love it. I love it. Well, yeah, I mean, before we kind of jump into things, do you have like a pet peeve that you see people do a lot with social media or something that you feel like it's so easy to kind of fall into? And like, what do you wish more people would do with their social media? Big picture, just before we get going.
Yeah, definitely a pet peeve that I have is when I look at a feed, especially a feed of someone who's in the creative space. So we work with a lot of interior designers and home decor brands, and we've worked with photographers, you know, people who have really beautiful images of spaces they've designed or people they've shot. And when I look at a feed like that and all I see are photos, it kills me because video is so incredibly important, and I'm sure we're going to cover a lot of that today. But, you know, when you're in a space like photography, it's really easy to fall into the trap of only posting photos because that's what you love. Like, that is what you do day in and day out. And you want to stick to your guns on that and just do photo. But we really have seen a lot of success with photographers that we've worked with where they're able to utilize the photos that they have and turn them into video and show their personality on video. And it doesn't need to be that complex or that deep. It really can be easy and fun. So it's definitely a pet peeve when I see people who have just these beautiful brands and beautiful imagery, and they're only doing photo and completely neglecting their video content.
Totally. No, I get you. And I also get in that trap too, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a photographer. This has to be my portfolio. This has to be perfect. But I agree with you that when we can kind of branch out and show more of our personality in our marketing, it makes such a big difference, especially when we're competing with so many people in our field as well.
Yeah, your personality is why someone's going to hire you at the end of the day. And it really, when you think about, oh, well, you know, there's the saturated market and Instagram is so many people on Instagram and everyone's doing what I'm doing. You know, there's nothing original anymore at all. And I think that's like equal parts scary as it is liberating because what is original is always going to be you and your personality, your little quirks and funny things that you say and do are what set you apart. And they're going to be the reason why someone hires you versus the photographer down the road. And when you can start to really show that personality, you are going to just see a massive difference in the conversions from your content.
Totally. Well, do you have favorite social medias that you really lean into with your clients? Like, what do you think is the best use of people's time in 2024?
The best use of someone's time would definitely be leaning into video. You know, that is something that we hear oftentimes is I don't have time to do video content. I don't have time to be on all the platforms. You know, everyone has limited time, but we all spend time on what we value and what we see work for us. And that can be a really big hurdle is you might not have seen your social media marketing work for you until this point. And so it can be really difficult to put the time and effort into it until you get to that point where it is converting for you. But if you have limited time, I would really go hard in one platform. As a photographer, I would probably recommend Instagram as your baseline platform. Once you really have Facebook, once you have Instagram down, don't do Facebook. That's not going to get you anywhere. When you have Instagram down, what you then want to do is look into probably Pinterest or TikTok. Pinterest is definitely the long game, but it's also a much smaller time investment needed on your end, because you can batch out all of your pins. But TikTok is where you're going to see a faster turnover and faster results from it. It's just going to require more of that time from you, and it's going to be all video content. If you have the time and space and effort to put into TikTok, it's a really fantastic platform to be investing right now.
Yeah, for sure. I know. I think the time commitment is overwhelming for a lot of people. And then I know you also are big on LinkedIn, but maybe this is for like certain types of photographers, brand photographers, people that work more in a corporate setting, right? Like, how do you see your clients using LinkedIn right now too?
Yeah. So LinkedIn in the photography space is, I don't think, as relevant if you're, you know, a family photographer or you do newborn shoots, things like that. What we always want to be thinking about is, where is my audience searching for me? And we want to meet them there. We want to show up in those searches, because the reality is, in 2024, social media is the new search engine. And, you know, while I might still go to Google and look up, I live in Dallas, Texas, I might look up Dallas, Texas photographer, I'm going to go to their website. But the very first thing, I'm not even going to scroll the website, I'm going to go to the bottom of that page, and I'm going to go to their Instagram page. And that is how most of your consumers and customers are acting as well. So when we track that consumer behavior, what we really want to do is be showing up where they're at. If I'm looking for a newborn photographer, I'm not looking for you on LinkedIn. I'm looking for you on Instagram. I'm looking for you on TikTok. And I'm going to look up inspiration on Pinterest, which is where you want to be showing up as inspiration. Like, your work should be the work that your clients show you going into a shoot. And how cool would that be? So that's kind of what we want to think about. You know, LinkedIn is great, as you said, if you're a brand photographer, if you work in the corporate space, if you do event photography, or you shoot retreats, things like that. But if you're really kind of a family photographer, it wouldn't be the best match for you.
Totally, totally. I love that, thinking about like, where are your clients hanging out? Where are they going to plan their wedding or look for outfits? Or where are they going to hang out before they're ready to hire you? And I agree with you. Like, I immediately go to Instagram, like, new restaurant. I look up people's Instagram, new person I want to hire. I'm like, let me see what they're up to. You know, I want to know all the details.
Yeah. And I think that that big shift too really happened with TikTok coming on the scene. And I know a lot of people who go to TikTok for posing help. What kind of poses can I, even, you know, when you're posting like an Instagram photo, you're like, okay, well, me and my boyfriend have like no good photos together. Like, tonight's the night, we're going to get a good photo. And you watch videos and you're like, okay, how can I tell him to pose? He always looks really stupid in these photos. And so like, wouldn't it be cool if you showed up in that search? They weren't even really looking for someone to do family photography or like partner photography, but you showed up, you provided them value in that search, and then they kept following you. And then 6 months later, when they needed to do photos for, maybe they got engaged or maybe they have an event coming up, and then you're that person they go to. So it really is meeting them where they're at, but also thinking about the long game, because organic social media marketing, it really is compounding over time. Yeah, you might get a few like good bites in the beginning, but it's really going to yield you results over the long term when you stick with it.
Definitely. Definitely. Do you have like if someone like Emma, my social media is so hard, it's not converting, I don't want to do this, you know, like, what would you say is a good trial period of like, hey, if you can commit to a few months of doing it this one way before you make a decision if this is working or not, like, how much time should someone put in to a new strategy? Or they're like, hey, I want to switch it up and I haven't been doing video, but now I want to try something different and kind of like come out the gate with this fresh idea. How much time does it take to really test it?
So I would say to give it at least 90 days, but you probably want to give it 6 months to actually see results. Now, I don't say that meaning try this new strategy and stick with it guns blazing for 6 months straight, because whenever you try something new, you need to adapt to the results coming in. You have to be looking at the data. You have to be looking at the analytics, because your audience is always going to tell you what they want to see from you. And it's this hugely missed opportunity for so many brands and creators. You get really stuck in your head. I really love creating this type of content. This type of content is easy for me. I can pump this out. Like, I can just post photos all day. That's easy. I already have them, right? They're beautiful, but your audience is not reacting well to them. And they're telling you without saying it that they want to see video content, or vice versa, however that looks, right? So try a new strategy. Give it 30 days for a new strategy. If it's brand new, you're trying something totally different. In those 30 days, though, look at your analytics every single week and then do a monthly overview too. So for us, with our clients at 95 Media, we are all about data. We do weekly reports, we track monthly, and then we do a quarterly zoom out as well. And so every 30, 60, and or every 7, 30, and 90 days, we're looking at the data. And that really gives you this super zoomed in view on a weekly basis, which of these posts that we put out last week is performing well. Then on a monthly basis, what's our overall trend? Are we trending up? Are we trending down? Is it not really making a difference? And then when you can go even farther out, 90 days, and say, okay, well, 2 out of 3 months, we were tracking up. And then 1 month, it came down a little bit, but that little bit was still higher than our beginning point. So we're still tracking up over long term, right? These are all things we want to be really looking at critically, and saying, okay, well, what's actually working for us? What is our audience like interacting with and engaging with? And how can we continue to replicate those really great results moving forward?
So for people who maybe haven't spent time with their data too much or haven't looked at their analytics, you know, where should they be looking? Are they looking at how many people are viewing their stories? Are they looking at how many shares? Are there analytics that are more important than other ones when you're trying to figure this out?
That's a great question. Yeah. So the analytic everyone likes to look at is their follower count. That's the one everyone's super familiar with, super comfortable with, and put so much value on for absolutely no reason. It is honestly, follower count is your least important analytic in my point of view. Like, it's the least interesting thing that you could possibly share with me. The most interesting thing that I could see is what is our content reach and what are our content interactions? And then beyond that point, how many click-throughs are we getting? So the names for those things differ between every platform. If you're looking at Instagram, for example, those are going to be called your website taps. It's going to look like your content interactions and your content reach. And those are the analytics that we're really tracking on Instagram. Those numbers are important because someone might follow you, but if they're not interacting with your content, they're not going to see your future content. And if no one's interacting with your content, no one's going to see that content, because the way the algorithm works is that when your content is seen and engaged with, that tells the algorithm that people like it and they're going to push it out to more of your audience. Only 2% of your audience is ever going to see your content. You want to make sure you're getting in front of those 2%. And even more than that, people who aren't following you should be seeing your content as well. And that's the really big benefit with Reels, is that oftentimes your reach with your Reels are significantly higher with non-followers versus your followers. And typically photo content, you have a higher reach with followers versus non-followers. So those are important metrics to be following as well, is saying, okay, well, yes, we want to nurture our existing audience and we want to feed them content that's they enjoy seeing and engaging with. But we also need to remember, we have to get in front of new people too. If we don't get in front of new people, we're never going to grow our reach, because it's not about getting in front of new people to grow our followers. It's really getting in front of new people so we can increase our brand awareness. And when someone is aware of us, they go back to our profile. Hopefully they press follow. Hopefully they go to our website, and then we can engage with them moving forward too.
Totally. Yeah. I like thinking about it that way of, yes, you're trying to connect with and engage with and entertain your current followers, but also if it's not getting out to new people, then, you know, you're not getting in front of the new people that you're wanting to hire you and things like that too. So I feel like you also talk a lot about white space in your social media marketing. Tell us what that means and like where we can try to find that in our own niche.
I love white space. It's my favorite thing. So to kind of lay the groundwork, white space on social media, this concept of white space is really just finding a gap that you can fill. And it's very similar to when you start your business. You know, you see a gap in the market, you see how other people are doing things, you know you can do it slightly better. You know you can do it in a slightly different way. So you create a service or you create a product to fill that gap. And I look at social media marketing in the exact same way. Okay, you have 25 million other photographers in the world and you're not doing much different than everyone else. But like we were saying in the beginning, what is it about your brand, your service, your personality, or maybe even just your team that sets you apart? And how can you really begin speaking to that? We work with a photographer right now. It's actually a pair. It's a couple, their wife, husband team. And they do a lot of wedding and engagement photography and things like that. And they, you know, that industry is very saturated. There are a lot of wedding photographers, if we're being honest. And what they do that is so different is that because they're husband and wife duo, they can literally show the couples they're shooting exactly what to do for every scene and every photo they want to shoot them in. Because they're like, okay, hold her like this and bend him like that and do all of these things. And that's something that they do different. And they really, really showcase that on their social, or they have been since they've started working with us. Because we're like, you guys do this so different than anyone else. And it's those little things, because they didn't realize that that was something different. They didn't realize that was something they should be highlighting on social when they started working with us. But coming from an outside perspective, that's really the beauty of what we're able to bring to our clients is we work with clients in so many different spaces. We're able to look at them all objectively and say, well, in the market research that we're doing, in the competitor analysis that we've done, this is what's happening in your space. And then when we look at your brand, this is what you do different. So this is what we're really going to hone in on. And we're going to showcase this really beautifully. And that is going to be how you tap into white space, especially in a platform like Instagram or TikTok, where a lot of people are doing the same thing, but you're going to put your own twist on it. And that's going to be that white space that you're going to fill.
I'm so glad that you pointed this out and that we're talking about it, because I'm also a nerd of white space of like, okay, everyone's doing this one type of business or this one type of photography. What's the thing that no one's doing for some reason? And I think I've noticed, especially in creative industries, and we've worked with people for years now, is there's this real fear about stepping out and doing something different and being noticed. So it's like, while you know you need to, while the point of marketing is to stand out, there's also this like real fear of like, it doesn't feel safe to do that. I should just blend in with everyone else. Well, everyone else is doing this thing, so I should be. And so I love that you're mentioning this, that like, hey, those things that do set you apart are the thing that you want to lean more into in your marketing, because like blending in is detrimental to your business.
I think that everyone needs to hear that a million times. Go back, rewind, listen to that again. That is literally the key of social media marketing, is what can you do different? And what you said about feeling safe is so true. And that is genuinely what holds so many people back from promoting what they do on social. And I had that exact same fear when I started 95 Media. When I started my brand, I was working in corporate. I was an interior designer. I had the biggest imposter syndrome anyone could possibly have. I was a year out of college. I was so young. I did not know what I was doing. I was literally teaching myself marketing like in real time. And at the same time, I knew that I had to start marketing on Instagram in order to actually bring in business. And so what I did, because I did not want to be seen by, I didn't want anyone I worked with to know what I was doing. I didn't even really tell a lot of family or friends what I was doing. I went to my new business profile that I just created on Instagram and I blocked every single person I knew. I was like, no one's going to see this. We're going to block y'all. And they're literally still blocked to this day, because I went into it and I said, if I know that these people are watching me, I'm not going to show up as like the truest version of myself that I want to come to this new business with. I'm going to be, you know, the version of me that I think other people want to see and the version of me that other people already know. But I knew I was stepping into sort of like this new identity of entrepreneurship and running a company. And so if that's something that you're feeling too, you know, this is your account and you get to do what you want with it. So if blocking certain people is going to make you feel more comfortable to show up and do the silly things and do these weird trends that someone's going to tell you to do, then do that, because that genuinely is going to be the moment when you speak to your target audience and they say, that's the person that I want to hire.
Honestly, that is so good, because I can still remember it was 15 years ago I started my photo business, but there were like two or three acquaintances that like, I don't care about their opinion at all today, but they were holding me back from getting started. And so I love that you were just like, block the coworkers, block the family members, like block anyone that's going to make me feel cringe doing this, and I'm just going to do it. Because I do think a lot of times it's like, you know, in your head, I'm not going to care in 5 years what this person thinks about me, but it really gets in the way of you putting down roots in your marketing and your social media when you're getting started.
Yeah. And everyone, you know, people like to make fun of things that they don't know about and what's uncomfortable to them. So it's like, it's inevitable. People are going to talk about you, but also you're going to be in a very different place in a couple of years. And so you can look back and be like, well, you're still there. And now I'm here. So. Yeah.
Worked out for me.
Yeah.
Well, while we're talking about white space, do you have any tips or anything that you are like, hey, this is something people are not using enough of on Pinterest or not doing enough of on Instagram or any of these social media platforms? Where are you like, there is opportunity here and we wish people were kind of moving on it?
Yeah, well, something really interesting on Pinterest is a lot of people still are looking at Pinterest as a photo platform and don't really realize that video has taken over Pinterest just as much as it's taken over every platform. And so we're actually seeing a lot of traction being built on Pinterest with video content. I'm not a believer that you need to create video content specifically for Pinterest. I think there's a lot of opportunity to repurpose what you're already posting to other platforms to Pinterest. And the beauty of Pinterest is that it's not that there's no algorithm, but the algorithm is much smaller than and much less smart than any other platform, because Pinterest is really based on keywords. It's always been search based. It's literally SEO based. And so as long as you have your keywords down and you're properly creating pins on the back end, you should be showing up in the searches, whether or not it's video or photo. But because, and this goes back to white space, because there's so little or so few accounts posting video content right now, which I'm sure is going to change within the next 6 to 12 months, you get the opportunity to show up higher and faster in the search fields when you have a video post that answers a question versus a photo post. So if you're active on Pinterest, definitely look to begin pinning some videos to that platform.
I love it. Awesome. Okay. Since we have a social media expert here, I have to ask this burning question. Are you a fan of content pillars? And is there a way to kind of simplify that concept? Or is there anything that we can do to just make that easier on ourselves?
Yes. Yeah. I love content pillars. I think people who are not a fan of them really look at them as a restriction rather than a really helpful guiding element to your marketing. And for us, we actually have two approaches. So we look at content pillars and then we have content buckets. So content pillars are more high level. They are really like your first stepping stone to creating content. The three content pillars that we utilize is educational, validating, and vulnerable content. All content really falls into one of those three buckets. Then when you get more granular, all your content falls into those content pillars. When you get more granular into your specific brand, then we get to build out content buckets. And those buckets are really specific to you, your goals, and what you're looking to achieve on social. So they might be, okay, they're about our brand and our core pillars and our team. And then there we have client results, and then we have trend humor, and then we have finished projects. Like there's all these different buckets that you can create specifically for you. And those feed into your pillars. So when you look at these things, they're very malleable and they're going to change over time. They should really just be a guiding element for you. And an example of that is when we content plan internally. We look at content calendars at a month at a time. And when we're mapping out the content, we're mapping out the different buckets. So we might say, okay, Monday is going to be this bucket, Tuesday, this bucket, Wednesday, this one. And then when we have those buckets in place, we can say, okay, well, so it's going to be trending audio on Monday. Are we going to take an educational route with it? Are we going to make it more vulnerable? Are we going to make it validating, right? And that all just lays the foundation for that post. And then it's going to make it so much easier when you go to create on a Tuesday evening, because you put it off. And when you have that time slotted for yourself, say, okay, right. Okay. It's going to be a trending audio and we're going to be educational with it. I just need to go find that audio. And now I know exactly how I'm going to take the angle. So it really just should make that process easier for you rather than feel restrictive.
I love that. Can you dig in a little bit more to the three things you said at the beginning? Educational,
the pillars.
Validating, yeah, the pillars. And
for sure. Yeah. So with the three pillars, they're, like I said, really high level. The first being educational, it's pretty straightforward. Honestly, this is the content that a lot of us are really comfortable creating and can actually get into a rut only creating. Unlike the other two, which oftentimes we don't have enough of, I'm usually telling people, we got it. Like, educational is handled. We're going to move on from here. So this is the type of content where it's like three tips on how to do X, Y, and Z. These are the things I learned doing X, that things along those lines. Validating content is really speaking to your audience. It's recognizing their journey and the problem that they're facing and presenting what you do as a solution to it. For example, you might say, listen, your boyfriend sucks at posing in photos. And you also don't want him to suck when he finally pops the question and now you have your wedding day and he looks like an idiot in your wedding photos. So what you're going to do is you're going to book a mini session with me. It's going to be 30 minutes. I'm going to teach you how to pose in these photos and you're going to walk away with 10 photos that you're going to love of you and your husband or you and your boyfriend, right? That's validating. That's speaking to a problem that like 90% of women have. So now you've validated the problem and you've presented your offer as the solution. The other side of that is vulnerable content. So vulnerable content is not scary. You don't have to be crying in front of the camera. It's really just talking about your story. It's very much rooted in storytelling. So storytelling content is what sells. It's what builds connection and it's what builds community. It's why someone is going to stick around and follow you and engage in your content. You're going to see, hands down, the most engagement when you have a vulnerable post. We have one client who is amazing at storytelling. When she posts this like big, long story, blows up. I might look at that and be like, I'm not going to sit here and read a story that's so long you have to continue it in the captions, but her audience does. And she knows that and it works for her. You need to find how your audience likes storytelling, because my audience likes storytelling in videos. So they love a get ready with me. They love a day in the life video. Those are behind the scenes. They're vulnerable. They give a different aspect of your life versus this is what I do and this is my work and here's the beautiful finished project. We really want to see more and we want to see what's going on behind the curtain. And that's what vulnerable content allows you to do.
I love that. I love those three things. Okay. So educational, validating, vulnerable.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, so I feel like we all need to go make some more videos at this point, work on our video game, work on our storytelling game, and our more of those validating posts where we're like, I see you, where you are, maybe doing a little brainstorming about our ideal client of like, what are some of the issues popping up for you? How could I create some content that would speak to that? And break out of that like rut of only just posting photos or only, you know, barely putting anything in the caption. Guys, I get it. It's so easy to stick with that. It's scary to break out of it, but I'll do it if you do it. Let's try it together, right?
We'll make a pact.
We'll make a pact. We only have a little bit more time, but before we hop out, can you talk a little bit more about stories? Like Instagram stories, and how can we use that to even like convert leads or to bring people to our website? I feel like there's a lot of different ways to use Instagram, particularly that people aren't doing, right?
Absolutely. Instagram stories are my favorite. My favorite because there's so much money available and so many sales available from your Instagram stories. The reason being that when someone engages with your feed content, it's going to be a comment, right? It's going to be a comment. You can't really dig deeper. There's not really much to go from there. But when someone engages with your story, that lands in your DMs. And your DMs now become this private conversation with this person no one else is privy to. And you get to really nurture that relationship to a point where you can start to dig in and potentially turn that into a sales conversation. Your stories as well, though, are the number one biggest place to show behind the scenes. For all of our clients that we do social media management for, we do story content for them. We'll do slides, we'll do designs, we'll do polls and all the things. But I always say to them, you still have to be on your stories. We've got your feed, we've got it all down, but you have to be on your stories. Because the more that you are authentically showing up on your story content, the more conversions you're going to get, hands down, no question about it. You're going to, when you start posting strategic content and understanding your ideal client and your brand voice and really showing up strategically, you're going to see conversions start to happen in your DMs. People are going to reach out wanting to learn more about your services. They're also going to be replying to your stories where you can then nurture the conversation in the way that leads to a sales conversation. And you're also going to utilize your DMs to start conversations and do the outreach from someone else's story or from their content. Your story should be a place where you are showing what's going on in your life, giving behind the scenes what's happening as much as you possibly can. And if that means you have a half an hour a day to dedicate to your stories, put that on your calendar, like literally block it in your calendar, because you're going to notice when you stop doing it, your conversions and your conversations are going to really dip. They make a really, really big difference. And there are so many ways to do it. You know, anything that you're doing in your day can feel really mundane to you because our days are really boring to us and we do the same thing day in and day out. But the more that you can show on your stories, show it. Like every single shoot, what does your prep look like? What does your at the shoot progress look like? Can you take like a time lapse of you shooting while the phone's shooting and you're shooting on your camera? And then what happens after? What does the editing process look like? Don't be afraid to do the same thing over and over and over again on your stories. I will say one of the people, one of the influencers that I consume her story content every single day is an esthetician. And she's actually my esthetician because I literally found her on Instagram and I was like, okay, well, she's in my area. I'm going to go to her. But I started going to her a year and a half ago and I've consumed her story content almost every single day since I started following her a year and a half ago. She does the exact same thing on stories every single day. She shows, get ready with me, get unready with me. And then whatever happens in between is her day. Do I watch get ready with me and get unready with me on her stories every single day? Absolutely. I don't know what it is. It's just so good. And they say with sales, you have to see something 7 to 20 times before you want to buy it. And when you think things are getting boring and mundane in your head, that's when it's starting to work. So don't be afraid to do the same thing over and over again.
I love that permission slip too, because I also think it can be from a viewer, it's really calming to like know what to expect and to watch the same thing and to know like, oh, when I click on these stories, I'll see something funny or inspirational or like a get ready with me or, you know, whatever it is, like I have an idea of what I will see when I click on people's stories and that's like kind of comforting too. So yeah. I love that that's a permission slip of like, hey, it's okay to just pick a couple things you like to do, do them all the time, and like invite people to engage more through that.
Totally. Sometimes I say for people who are really struggling with getting on stories and what do I show on stories and who do I show on stories? I say, if you look at your stories as if it were a reality TV show and you're just showing what is happening every single day, it has scenes. It has characters, like your puppy that keeps you up all night is a character. Your baby who goes to preschool as a character, your husband who can't clean a dish to save his life as a character, and they all have storylines. So when you can put that kind of cap on it and make it fun for yourself, introduce characters, have storylines, have your crazy mother-in-law, have like your move that you're doing and it's coming up and it's dry, right? Like all of these things are entertainment, and entertainment is what we're looking for. And just what you said, when you know what to expect, it's like when you turn on Bravo, you're like, oh, okay, like Real Housewives is going to be this, Below Deck is going to be that. You know what to expect. And it's just like a fun lens to put on your story content.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us about social media marketing. I know I feel inspired to go and try some new things on mine. If people want to connect with you or want to know more about your services, how can people find you?
Absolutely. So our website is 95media.co, not .com, but it's .co. And our Instagram is definitely where we're the most active. Our handle is 90.5.media, all spelled out. We are super active over there, but we have profiles on every single platform. So you can find us literally anywhere you search for 95 Media. We also have a podcast. It's called Stop Scrolling, Start Scaling. And every single week we talk about marketing tips and strategies and just different things that you can do to grow your online presence and monetize your audience. And that's really what we're all about. But if you're interested in working with us, head over to our website. All of the information on our services is there, or you can send us a DM over on Instagram and I will personally get back to you there.
Thank you so much, Emma. It's been great chatting with you.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Dangerous Creatives Podcast. We're so thankful that we can deliver this awesome content to you each week, and we're so thankful for your support and that you keep showing up to listen. If you want to dive in a bit more, we have our membership that is open year-round. We just launched a couple challenges inside of it, the Money Mindset Challenge and the Vision Challenge, and those are things you can walk through at your own pace. They're super fun and easy to get through, and also really inspiring if you're trying to make moves in your business. We have a monthly call as part of that membership too. So you get to join for a year, have community, jump in with a bunch of creatives, and also walk through the curriculum together. So if you want more information on that, you can check out that and all of our other offerings at dangerschool.com. Thanks so much, and we'll see you soon. This episode was produced and edited by the lovely Jen Madigan Creative. Music for this episode was written and recorded by Chami D. Thanks for being part of our Dangerous Creatives podcast community, and we'll see you again next time.